So we have this very interesting gospel, very intriguing, because we know that Jesus is making a parable saying that the master is God and these three servants are people, the servants of God. And we have this strange realization that he gives them something. Two of them do something with that thing, increase what they were given. One does nothing out of fear. And honestly, don't we feel bad for him? Right? The master comes and he's like, "Master, I was just really afraid. I know you're very demanding. I know that you put me in charge of this, and I was afraid to lose everything, so I thought, I'll just bury it in the ground. When you come back, I'll give it back. I was afraid." And God, the master, says, "You wicked, lazy. What are you doing?" And he says, "You're lazy, and throw this guy in prison, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." And then our good deacon said the gospel of the Lord, which means the good news. And then we all responded, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." Right? What are we praising when we hear a very strange gospel? And so first of all, we have to recognize that God is speaking to Jews 2,000 years ago, and now we are Americans or people from other countries in the year 2017 reading what he was speaking to people 2,000 years ago. So in order to understand properly this gospel, we have to understand some things about the Jewish culture. And so first, what is a talent? A talent is a form of money. It was a precious gold or metal. And one talent would have been equivalent to 15 or 20 years of wages. 15 or 20 years of wages. So that's an excessive amount of money. And so by giving the first man 5 talents, he's entrusting to him about 100 years worth of money, which is a lot. And so for us in our 2017 mind, all we think about is, whoa, okay, 100 years of wages. That guy, the second one, got like 40 years of wages. And even the last one got 20 years of wages. That's a lot of money. So that's what sticks out for us. For the ancient Jews, what they would have actually been struck by was not the amount of money, but actually the fact that one talent, this precious gold, in order to have that much monetary value, would have weighed about 50 pounds. And so that first servant, getting 5 talents, is walking around with 250 pounds of precious metals. And so they would have heard that, and they would have gone, "Wow, that's a heavy amount." And the reason I emphasize heavy, why that would have struck out to them, because often in Jewish scripture, it was very common to talk about this thing called Kabod Yahweh. Okay, Kabod Yahweh is a Hebrew term. Kabod meaning heavy. Yahweh was the word for Lord, God. And so the Kabod Yahweh was the heaviness of God. This word Kabod in the Greek is doxa, in Latin, gloria, the glory of God. And so what is the glory of God? What is the heaviness of God? What does God carry the most of? We say, as the Jews did, would be mercy. God is most heavy with, he is carrying most, especially we know, epitomized on the cross, is mercy. And we see this throughout the entire gospel. Too often we think, oh, the God of the Old Testament, oh, he's just wrath, he destroys people, he's a mean guy. No. What is the history of Judaism? Is God creates people, he makes his covenant, and then the people walk away. Right? They're like, "God, we're starving in the desert." So he rains down from heaven bread, manna. And then like the next scene, they're like, "Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Go get a golden calf. Let's worship him." And then God's like, okay, I love you again. Come back. I'll give you more mercy. And then just a few scenes later, God gets Moses and he gives the 10 commandments. And as Moses is going down the hill, right after giving the manna, he again sees this golden calf and he's like, "I was gone for 5 minutes. I went up a mountain and God gave commandments." And again, they're worshiping somebody else. But again, what does God do? He's merciful. He calls them back. And so God's glory, God's heaviness, God's very essence, his nature, is to be rich in mercy. So us, we read that gospel, we think it's all about rich in money. No, it's rich in mercy. And so now that we understand what the Jews would have thought of, they would then hear this scripture passage, and they would recognize God entrusted to these three servants his abundance of mercy. And if God is merciful to us, what are we called to do? We are called to be merciful to others. Okay? When we go to confession, what happens? We ask for God to forgive us. We go, God, I've done so many bad things. Forgive me. And all we do is ask. He forgives it all. And then what do? We leave confession and we're like, oh, here's my brother, my mother, my sister. You were a jerk to me. You hurt me. Do this, 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 and that. Make it up to me, and then I'll forgive you. Let me know when you're ready. We walk away. God just gave us mercy. He just gave us his kabod Yahweh, and then we walk away. We do nothing like him. We are contrary to God. And what essentially is heaven? What is heaven? Heaven is to share in the very essence, the very nature of God. To be like him in his fullness. In fact, the word wicked, which Jesus uses, by definition means to not just be bad, but to be opposite of nature. He's the opposite of nature. And so in order to enter heaven, we have to have the same nature as God, which is receive mercy and give it up. And so the master isn't being a jerk. Essentially, he's saying, hey, you're not being my nature. You're not acting like me. And so I'm sorry. The party called heaven is only for people who act like me, who become as loving as me, as merciful as me, as beautiful as me. And I'm sorry if you don't become that. And the door's open, but you can't get in because you haven't become like that. Great way to think about this is, in college, I met some friends from India. They just traveled over, and they were in the master's program, and I met them at the Catholic Church, and they would tell me about their Indian culture. And one thing they said was so popular in India was the game of cricket. Cricket. I don't know anything about it. I know they have like a bat-looking thing and a ball, and something happens. And so they tried to explain to me cricket. I was clueless. So I explained to them football. And they were like, what? I was like, yeah, these guys have helmets and pads, and they're going to football, and they run around, they hit each other, and it's great. And so I brought both of them to one of our games at the university. And during the entire game, they had no idea what was going on. They were so confused, and they were, by definition, bored. They're like, this is boring. Why was it boring for them? Because they didn't understand the nature of football. Since they did not understand the nature of football, how football works, they could not enjoy it. If I try to go to maybe some beautiful ballet concert, performance, whatever you call it, exactly, that's what I know. If I went to that, it might be the most beautiful ballet you've ever seen. But maybe because I'm not educated in ballet, I don't know the nature of ballet, how the essence of it, I cannot appreciate, I cannot even be present at that event. I will be somewhere else in my mind. I will want to leave. So this is what God says. Yeah, you don't even want to be here. I gave you my mercy. You did not give it out. And so then what do? We cannot be afraid to take what God has entrusted to us and to give it out. And so if God gives us mercy, we cannot be afraid to give it out. And if you are lacking in something, God says, when one has, more will be given. What you do not have will be given, taken away. What does this mean? Here's the last thought. Is that if you're desiring more love in your life, if you're desiring more love in your marriage, if your marriage is falling apart, then you have to give more love, even if it's painful. And if you give more love and choose to love your spouse, you receive more love in return. If you feel like, I'm so depressed, I have no joy, I feel miserable, then go out there, go serve the poor, or go do something, go work at like the old person's home, or go help volunteer at the school, and bring some joy to some other people, and I promise you, if you give out joy, you will receive more joy. The way you lose that joy is by going in your room and staying in your depression. The way you lose that love is by saying, sorry, spouse, go in your room, I don't want to talk. That's what it means. Don't give it away, you'll lose it. Give it, you'll gain the world. And what is that world? It is the very essence and nature of God. And so this is our very prayer. This is what we receive at the Eucharist, knowing that in just a moment, we actually receive the incarnate person, the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. His mercy, his love, his forgiveness, his joy, even his suffering that is redeemed. So let us not be afraid to come forward, to accept it, and then give it out.